Ado, I want to bring up Dennis. Yay! Don't worry.
Let me put this up.
You got the thing there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'd like to bring Jamie up. He turned my mic off. Jamie, would you come up? I think Patty wants to come up. My wife is here, Judith. Jamie. Where art thou, where thou goeth?
Virginia.
Yeah.
How much do you want me to say? 2 minutes?
Sure. Can you do two?
I can do 2 minutes. I'm efficient. I'm an engineer. I can do that.
Yeah.
Do it. Put me on a timer.
Just remember, there's a Super Bowl game on. If she takes more time up, Wes took some of my time. She's taking some of my time. The black is for the Chicago Bears that didn't make the Super Bowl.
And
now
he's
speak,
taking
Jamie, if
and
he can.
And now he's taking time from my time. Very quick. When the Lord sent me to Bishop, He told me to come here for my family, and He was like, "Just serve your family and love them into the kingdom of God." And I can say today that my family is now in the Lord, 7 years later. So when God sends you to do something, though it's hard and humbling, like, He did the work. And I don't think there's anything more valuable than watching your brothers and your mother and your father and your children come into the Lord. That's like everyone's heart's desire. So I leave finishing my main mission here. And God, you've probably been doing 7 years. It's so fast. And the Lord gave me a dream years ago that told me that I would move after I was here for a few weeks, and told me the friends I stayed, I would move into based on a series of friends I had, and I would have a job promotion. And I mean, He told me in October to apply for this one job in Virginia, and then told me, it's like, you'll start work in April. And I applied for this job a week later, have 4 interviews. And then the day I left on December 30th, I was offered the job and signed paperwork for it. And the Lord had told me to leave January 1st, 2020. And I'm out of my house. I'm homeless right now. Thank you for Ann and Joe for housing me and Patty and Boris. But, that's the Lord's been faithful. Like, in this new season, like, I really have to say thank you for the body of Christ here. Because when I came here, Tommy Ho gave me a word. First weekend I came here and said, in this church, you'll find the true gold that you find in Christ. And there's been pillars in this church, recognized and not recognized, that have done that in my life. Showed me true gold. Like, and you guys loved me, like, as I grew. So thank you for growing me. And as I do this new chapter, just, I say thank you, like, the deepest part of my heart, for being the family of God that raised me up.
She did it. We love Jamie. This is like one of our children. I have, what do we got? 6 children, 14 grand, 3 great, and Jamie, and about and about 10 or 15 others around that adopt us as Papa. So some cases I'm Daddy, sometimes it's Papa, sometimes it's Daddy Din Din, and sometimes it's Papa Dennis. Today it's Pastor Dennis, and you're all listening. All right? So, Father, we just thank you for Jamie. We thank you, Father, for her, the anointing of God in her life. We thank you, Father, that she's been a blessing to us. And we just receive, Father, her way prepared. As she drives across the country, the Spirit of God and the angels of God will go before, around, about, and under, and over, in every aspect as she goes to be in health and gets to her destination. We just receive a spirit of safety for her in the name of Jesus. Now, yesterday when I saw her at Ellen's and Tom's for the memorial, the Lord said there's going to be a tongue interpretation for this girl, and the anointing's all over me. So, Father,
Father,
Rosa no monoto shokoborotota. Ye se he cobros and nini ke pahanoboto. Roti ni mi gamba rosa lebe de sheki bresoko. Rosa de batakali. He se he coboro. Lasa kingara ponto shongobada.
As you had said before, God is faithful, but he looks at you and he says, you are faithful. You've done what you're supposed to do here, and now I send you. And I send you knowing that there are people already there waiting for you, and they're going to speak more into your life for increase, for abundance, for furthering you into the things that are godly, but all the parts of you, and especially your heart, I have heard them all, and they're coming to pass. And yes, you have to move to do this, but they're coming to pass. So continue this faithful heart that I gave you, and you will fulfill all that you've been destined to do.
I haven't known anybody that had so many people want to claim them as their daughter. I'm serious. And there's really good reason for that, because I don't know too many people, like nobody that I can think of, that has the integrity of heart and the boldness to deliver. And you are truly a quality daughter of the King. And so we're just excited that for the people that are going to get to steward you in the next season, because they are very blessed. They are very blessed. And we have been blessed to steward you for this past season, and we will know you for a lifetime. So you're not getting away. And so I just bless you, daughter, that all the resources of the kingdom will be at your disposal in this coming season, that nothing will be held back. Nothing will be forgotten. That your mate is coming in the name of Jesus, that perfect mate. You haven't found him yet, because God's timing is perfect. His timing is perfect, and he's going to be a quality young man. Oh, a quality young. Oh, what a lucky man. So bless you in that, and bless you to just be full of the anticipation that comes with knowing that God is with you and for you, and that you are walking at high levels in full confidence of his blessing, and he will make it so. He will clear the paths. He will orchestrate the circumstances, and he does that. I mean, people are clamoring for quality people like you, and you will have no problem wherever you go. In Jesus' name.
And Jamie, we've been friends for a long time. Anyways, I just heard the Lord say, give you John 10:10, that he will have abundant life for you, even in the midst of trials and all of that. And you know that already. But I just want to bless you with that. And I just want to pray that the promises that God has told you, you've already seen a lot come to pass, but there's so much more. And, you know, he says his promises are yes and amen. And so bless you.
One last scripture, girl. Just part of the scripture came to me while Dennis was speaking in tongues. Out of Jeremiah, the Lord says to you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. I have drawn you with loving devotion. So I just say to you, my dear, the future is bright. And that the love you have been seeking in your life, not only have you responded to God and he to you, but that's still coming. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Linnell. When you're watching the Spirit of God, three times I had Linnell this morning. I had something for her. That's why I went and got her. And I knew that when the tongue would come, my wife would have the interpretation, and then Wes added to it. So you're seeing the ministry of God working, the manifestations of His Holy Spirit. This good? Okay. I want to add something. This is to the body. In what Wes had said, because of the things that what Michael Dalton said about the different coasts and the different things going on. This is a scripture that Kathy mentioned a couple of weeks ago. But there's so much going on. But there's so much going on,
yeah.
Do you understand,
yeah.
With each one of us that we have to be prepared so that when things happen. A few weeks ago, I don't know where Marty is, but there was a really good snowboarder in town that was 32 years old that was just on his way and on his way, commit suicide. Huh? They're 26 years old. Okay. And so people that you encounter all over, there's things that are in your heart that can help them. You just let the Spirit of God fill your mouth with words that will help that person. And so the word I had was from Luke. It says, Luke 4:18, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised and get hurt, to preach the acceptable of the year of the Lord." What is that? It's the word that's on your heart for that person. You don't know what they're going through maybe, but be prepared, okay, to give them what's in your heart. So the message today, I think Wes said something. I was out in the back there for a minute. About I've been looking at this for the last 3 weeks. The Holy Spirit or more has been dealing with me about how do we prepare ourselves? And the best way to prepare ourselves is to renew our mind to the Word of God. And so today we're going to talk about how do you do that? Why do you do that? And as you do that, the Word of God will be resident in your heart and available. So when Mike called me this week, I said, yeah. He said, do you have a message? I said, I do. And so I said, it'll be in the form of this. It's going to be different than what maybe you've heard, but we have to have our mind, we have to be mind, word-minded, so that when things happen around us, that the Spirit of God has something to say to the people that we encounter. Okay? So, in order to do this, we have to change our thinking. It is something we must decide on our own, okay? And so I've got a few notes here as we go, but it's how do we transition from natural sense thinking to spiritual word thinking? How many have got your Bible today? If you have your phone, you have your Bible. Or I see John back there. I have a Bible. It's my Dake's Bible. Okay? I'm a King James person. My first Bible was, I think it was my second Bible, but it was a parallel Bible. Yeah, so I had King James, Living, Amplified.
No American Standard?
NIV. I think it's American Standard. Yeah. But anyway, whichever that one was. But when people would teach or be around me, I'd just go to King James. I had to go to King James. And that's what's in my heart. That's the way it is. For you out there, choose which Bible it is. Any Bible you have that works and speaks to your heart is the Bible that you want. That's the good Bible that you need. Okay? And so today I'm going to be using my parallel phone. Okay, and we're gonna we're gonna start Romans 12 because that's where renewing your mind begins. And I want to give a little background. Judith and I, we were in Mission Viejo for 39 years. We were had our own church for over five years. We merged our church into another church, and we were there for, I'm going to just say, 30-some years. I did a men's group for 30-some years. My wife had her own Bible study. I did it in a church. She did it at home. So we've always been involved. But in our thinking, when we first got born again, I'm going to try to remember, it was written down here. I was 32 years old when I got born again. Okay? And so that means I had 32 years of wrong world in my mind, all those things. So depending on how long ago you were born again determines how much you have to undo. Now, for us, we didn't have to undo a lot because we didn't know nothing. We grew up Catholics. My father, Irish Catholic, police, alcoholic, dysfunctional, my household, you know. And so consequently, I kind of followed that theme. But we knew when we got out here that because of our training, which was nothing, that we had to renew our minds to get right thinking. We were Catholics. The priests used the Bible, but the Catholics didn't. The parishioners, I think we called ourselves. You know, the good part of that is we didn't have anything to unlearn. Okay? So that was the good part. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But if you would throw up Romans 12, I'm going to read it again. Whoops. How did it go to Luke? Come on, Romans. I'm going to read it out of the King James first, and then I'm going to compare it to is that New Testament or New Living, right? Okay. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So there's something we have to do. We have to present our bodies, okay? And then it says, and to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, we're going to finish this in a minute, but I'm going to read this now. If you can read that New Living, and thank you for, there are miracles in the house, because we do not have New Living. We don't have Amplified. So I gave Karen a list of scriptures that she went and made a PowerPoint out of so we could do this. So this is Romans. Yeah, so Romans 12, 1 says, so dear brothers, I'm gonna read it out of mine. It's going to be easier for me to do that. It says, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Okay. Don't copy the behavior of the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Amen.
Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I didn't read this in the King James, but I'm going to read it here, verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given to us, I give each of you this warning, or given to me. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Okay, so I'm going to pick this apart a little bit more in a minute. But the bottom line, verse 3 is telling us, in order to go with things and do things in the Spirit of God, you have to get rid of your pride.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah, pride's got to take a back seat. We all, from the world, that's what the world is. It's a prideful situation, okay? And so what we have to do is, on our own, make the decision that pride cannot formulate what we think and do, okay? And so going back to verse 12:1, the foundation, I'm going to do a couple more scriptures and then do a couple other things. So let's go. So we know that we have to submit our bodies, we have to change our thinking, and we have to not move in pride. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. While she's getting there, John 3:3 says, we have to be born again. Okay? So if you're not born again, just say, Father or Jesus, come into my heart and make myself new. That's all you have to do, and you'll be born again. And then you're going to be what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. And if you put that up there, Karen, too. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the King James. This means that, I'm in the wrong one. Sorry about that. 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're born again, you're now in Christ. He is a new creature, or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So whatever that happened in your life, you've got to undo all those years in your thinking. For myself, it was 32 years. For Judith, it was 31 years. And so what we decided when we got born again, she was before me. She dragged me along, kicking and screaming by my hair, mostly. But we made the decision. We came to California to a meeting. We made the decision. I got met with a pastor for some odd reason, and I was able to be honest with him. One of the things that happened in my life, I was two things I want to talk about in changing how I think, and I'll do that in a minute. But we were when we got here, we made the decision that we were going to change the way we think. We were going to change the way we did things. We had to do it. We grabbed ourselves by the ear, especially me, and that's what we did. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, if you have that one, Karen. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, once you're born again, it separates you. You're separated. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But also, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, and through that separation, that is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make the pure and whole and undamaged consecrated to him, set apart his purpose, and may the Spirit of God, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete, be found blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a reminder for some, it might not be a reminder for everybody. We are a spirit. And so when we were born again, our spirit was made perfectly clean with God. Kingdom of heaven is when we got born again and spirit were born again, our goal was heaven. It was already attained. The kingdom of God comes to us on this earth so that we can proclaim the liberty of God and change things around us also. So in order to do that, our soul, we have to do something with our soul. So our soul has to be changed. We have to change our thinking. Again, we were in the world, so we had worldly thinking. We had natural thinking. And we were trained by who? This Satan. Not knowing any better, we were trained by him. And so now what we've become dual hearers. We can either listen to the devil or we can listen to the Spirit of God. And we have to make that decision on our own right, because if we continue to just listen to the world's way of thinking, we're going to be in a position where we're going to be no value to ourselves or to anyone around us. And so that's why part of renewing your mind is, why do you have to do it? It says in John 6:63, is my words are spirit and they are life. And so the word of God, the whole word of God is spirit. Okay, we can't take the Word of God into our minds intellectually. The Word's got to go into our heart, and it's got to come up into our minds, and we renew our thinking with that type of a situation. So the word of God is this is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus was made flesh, became a man on this earth. He became our example. And when we received Jesus in our heart, we received him right here. In other words, we get the word of God in our hearts. So when we change our thinking and purpose to hear what the Word of God has to say instead of what the natural way is, then it bears witness in our heart and it renews, it goes up into our mind and it changes our thinking. And that's a process we all have gone through or are going through. And you know what? We're going to continue to go through that. I understand that if you don't do it here, you're going to learn it in heaven. So somebody's going to be teaching in heaven. I'd rather get it here so I can have a, I don't know what kind of crowns we get, but I'm going to get something good because I decided to. Because I've decided I know what I was, and I'd rather be what I am. Okay? So, yeah. So anyway, so if you go to... I'm going to skip around a little bit, Karen. If you can pull up. No, I guess I'm not. Turn to Romans 8. I think it's 8:5 I want to go to. This will tell a lot of story about why we have to renew our minds and how do we go about doing it. So if you go to Romans, and I'll get there. And we're going to Romans 8. And I think I'm just going to do... Well, maybe I'll do it in the English first, or in King James. Is that English? I'm not sure. For me, it's English. Okay. But this is one I like to have fun with, okay? Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Oh, that's real clear. Mm-hmm. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay, flesh means sense ruled, ruled by your senses, ruled by the old man. Okay. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Well, that's clear, right? What does enmity mean? Anybody got it? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither it can be. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that be in that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, do that in the New Living. And if you don't have it in New Living, read it up there. But this is going to make a lot more sense for some than the King James does. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature of our old thinking, think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God, enmity. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. Okay, this is why you have to get the Word of God into your thinking. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by the sinful nature. You are controlled. Oh, Shira, turn that off. Okay. But I'll read it. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those things... Those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. Okay. So, do you ever have somebody's teaching you something or you're reading something and you just don't get it? Huh? And why? Because you're probably stuck up in your thinking from the old way of thinking, the world's way of thinking. And so you've got to make a decision there to say, okay, if I don't understand it, here's what I always do. I have a shelf, mm-hmm. Spiritual shelf. I put it on that shelf, and I receive it into my heart because it's when I'm hearing here too. So even if I don't understand it up here, It's going to go into my heart. And as I walk around, just like it did the last 3 or 4 weeks, the Holy Spirit was showing me this, this, and that, which he's done anyway because that's what I do. All of a sudden, that thing comes up into my mind, and it makes sense. So what's happened is somebody gave you a logos. Maybe it was a rhema to them, but it was a logos to you. And then when you hear it, hearing, it becomes a rhema to you. That means rhema has life to it. It's the Zoe power of God, so that it changes how you think. All right. When I grew up, some say I haven't. In some circles, they're still trying to figure out, wait a minute. I remember we went back to Chicago for a party from our old hockey team. And some of the guys were looking at me and were saying, Dennis, I know it's you, but what in, not the world, but what happened? Well, because I was upside down, I turned right side up. Yeah. And they were looking at me like, holy mackerel. Now, so to them, so what do you do when you see a people like that? Well, I'm going to go to 1 Peter or something. Totally, I'm going to give them the word of God and say, no, you give them your testimony. I just had an experience with God, changed my life. Once I drank, now I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it that easy? No. Yeah. But watch how the Spirit does this. When we got to California, this was, I think it was, what did we say, 76? We had a, 76 or 70, yeah. We, right before that, we went to a Catholic marriage encounter. Anybody ever been to one? Heard of one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It, okay. Well, the marriage encounter, really what it was an encounter with God.
Yeah.
Okay? I found out when I was there with my wife that... She said, you know, people are praying for you. I said, what? What? But this is, they're praying for me. And I'll tell you what happened. The perfect guy that was there, he was an Irish Catholic from Ireland priest. And he just hit my heart. It was really the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that. But for 2 days, I wept. I cried. Just the love of God just washed me out.
Amen.
Okay? And so that was my first encounter with the Spirit of God that I knew where it was, where life could be changed. You know, when you grew up, I had 3 older brothers. What did they do? They drank. My father drank. So what did I do? Drank.
Yeah.
And my sister saw us all and she says, you guys are nuts. I ain't drinking. You know. But anyway, watch this. So after that encounter, I think it was February of 76. In March, I came out to California for a sales meeting. At the sales meeting, I had an encounter with my boss, who I didn't always get along with. So we had some words as we connected in, and I said, you know what? I wanted to say something, but I didn't. Well, I really did, but you ain't going to hear it. So anyway, at that sales meeting, I met, during that week, I met a pastor that was truly a pastor. I mean, he had the pastor's heart. He would call us till the day he left earth almost every 2 to 3 weeks, even though we were in his church for 2 and then gone. But anyway, at that point, I had the encounter with God. Then I had another encounter, and that would have been in end of March. Now, watch this. I'm drinking. I'm still drinking because I don't know any better. I know I've changed. We moved out to California. We left Chicago. Couldn't stay there. Anyway, the whole story I want to say to here is the Holy Spirit was in me, and I was hearing more and more, not from the natural realm, but from the spiritual realm. And he was saying, in the Spirit, he was saying, the Holy Spirit was saying, he was walking with me, said, got to do something with that alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was back in March, and it kept going. And I here's what I did. I went like this with alcohol. And then I started drinking a little bit again. And then I found myself going to the bowling alley in Mission Viejo and up having a martini. And I said, my martini was straight gin with a lemon. Okay. And just for you know that miracles are for today, I would drink between a fifth and a quarter gin a day. That was it. But I watered that down with 3 or 4 packs of cigarettes. You know, so I was not addictive and compulsive. Not at all.
No, not at all.
I was just a true, really good old-fashioned Irish, Catholic. So anyway, so now I know my mind is, you know, part of the thing is you got to submit, Romans 12 once, you got to submit your body to the Lord. And if you do that, which we were in the process of doing to the best of our ability, he will work things out for you. Okay? So anyway, so I'm hearing it. And finally, in September, my parents came out for a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was. You know what the Holy Spirit showed me about them? Showed my father, says, he stopped drinking. He stopped. I said, how do you do that? I remember for Lent, I'd give up cigarettes for 40 days in the forest. At 12 o'clock, that thing was in. I was chewing on it. You know what I'm saying? And the drink was right here. It's 12 o'clock, Lent's over. I can be happy again. Okay. So anyway, so the Lord says, so the Spirit says to me, I'm walking around this corner after listening, watching my father, and I go right by where I have my wine. And I walk into the dining room and says, you're going to have to give me that. And, you know, one of those things, I turn around and look and said, give me that. I thought it was audible. I heard it within. Yeah. But you're going to have to give me that alcohol. Yeah. Okay, so right then and there, I says, okay. Now watch this. At the church we were going to, we would always, the men would either give the offering, scripture, or the communion. And so I think I gave the offering because I was giving. Okay. So I said before the church, I said in my words, I said, last week, she didn't even know it, I gave my alcohol to God.
Yes.
I walked back to my seat after everything else I said. In it's Matthew 12:32, one of the guys in the seats said, can't call them pews, but the seats, said, you confess me before men, I confess you before the Father. With that, I was delivered totally of alcohol.
Amen.
Now, I was in a business, financial business, where I was entertaining people all the time. I was the driver. We would go listen to Sarah Brightman. We'd do concerts in the car as we drive. They're lopsided. I'm straightforward. And I could do that without ever being even tempted to drink.
So cool.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I was a designated driver, and it was just the grace of God. So there are miracles, because I drank. That's my testimony. No, my testimony, I was delivered, and that was 40-some years ago.
Amen.
And haven't had a thing. Okay, tobacco. There's about three or four couples sitting around one of the guys' houses on a Sunday after church, and one of the ladies says, I got a word for somebody. I said, I know it's for me. It is. I said, it's for me. I don't know what he said, but she gave me 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. With that, I was delivered of tobacco.
Wow.
Smoking. Never to again to do it. Okay? Buried the roach clip, but no. No, because I was really cigarettes. I was a calm smoker. Three Winston and one Salem. I had to have the Salem for the menthol to put up with all the other a day. That's the way it was. Only three or four. And so I just bought a carton too. So now what am I going to do with that carton? Because I can't give it to somebody. In my heart I said no. So I destroyed it. And that was part of the deliverance also. Okay. So the body, there's certain obstacles that we have in life that are obstacles for renewing our mind. What is renewing your mind? It's really just becoming in a position to use the Word of God to help the people around us, help ourselves, but also others, and learn how to pray for people and just have the Spirit of God in you to help. So there's certain, you may have a different addictive and compulsive things, you know. Kathy talked about, and then Pastor Mike last week talked about Jezebel. And when you talk about Jezebel, you talk about Ahab, you know. And you talk about things that are obsessive and addictive, and you, in our house, my Judith's house too, we had dysfunctional family. So what did we have? The mother was really leading everything. My father was a policeman who was always out, and so we had dysfunctional things. So that's how we were trained. So we really had to take a step back and retrain ourselves. Okay, And so whatever it is that you have as addictive or compulsive in your life, just, he says, give it unto God. That's all you have to do. Okay? And how do you do that? You just by an act of faith. You do the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not going to come up and say, Bill, give me that.
Yeah, right.
Well, maybe might when you know.
No.
No, but what is he going to do? He's going to be gently speaking to him. Gently speaking. And maybe something that Penny says. Or might be something that Joe says. Or might be something nice. And all of a sudden, man, he can get rid of that thing. Because he's moving. Because his purpose is to move for God. All of our purpose is to move for God. We just have to make sure the obstacles are taken away. And that's part of renewing our mind and becoming not worldly minded, but being word minded. Being what the Spirit of God's got to say to us. And we renew our minds with that. Okay. You want to throw Joshua 1:8 up? I guess I'll do it for my. So once you make the decision, so the first part is Romans 12:1. It's, you know, moving our bodies, submitting our bodies. Romans 12:2, I'm going to read that again while she's putting that up. And I'm going to read it from the New Living. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Okay? But this is Romans 12:2. We're going to, she's going to go to Joshua. So I'm going back to Romans 12:2. First one that says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for your life, which we just saw just fully established for Jamie up here, that her will is established. She is right in line with God's will for her. And the Word of God spoke to her through three or four people, four different things, confirming that to her heart. And what does that do to Jamie's heart? Just lifts our heart. And then the mind can't tell her what's going on because the mind then becomes single-minded with that word in her mind. So it says, so that's what we have to do. So we have to change our thinking. It's part of the course that we have to take. And when we do that, our mind is getting renewed. We're getting in a better position to do the things that God's called us to do. Amen. And listen, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, we all have a job to do. It's not him up here, Pastor Mike. It's not Michael Dalton when he comes, not with one of the speakers. They're the ones, what is my job? My job's very clear. I'm not going to Africa with Joe. I'm not going. Because I'm a pastor and a teacher. Well, I'd love to go to there, but I'm not called to go to the, I'm called for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry right here. We were living in Mission Vale for 39 years. We had a place in Mammoth since 98. 5 years ago, she said 10 years ago, she knew it, but it took me a little bit of time because of some of the things. And I said, 5 years ago, we said, that's it. We're moving from Mission Viejo. And she says, where? I said, let's go to Mammoth. Why not? We have a place there. And so we went to Mammoth. We didn't know why we were going to Mammoth, but it was convenient. So we moved to Mammoth, and then we found out we were sent to Mammoth. Then we found out, after moving around a little bit for about 3 or 4 months, we were sent here, Church on the Mountain. Pastor Mike and the people here just received us. And so I'm a pastor first, but I teach out of the pastor's anointing. So I'm always looking, how can I help that person become a better them for the people around them? That's my goal. You know, and then Judith teaches, she's a teacher and a counselor, you know. So we get to doing marriage counseling, and I stand there and pray in the Spirit, and she does the work. But that's not always true, but that's partially true. Okay, so I said Joshua 1:8. Did you find it?
Yeah.
No? Did I give it to you? Oh, there it is. You got the King James. Okay, I'm going to do it then. Right, that's okay. I'm going to do it from the New Testament, or New Living. New Testament, yeah, right. Okay, if I can find Joshua, it's right there it is, 1:8. Okay, now if you look at that, I'm going to read it from the New Living. Study this book of instruction continually. This is how you get your mind renewed. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever Virginia is. I mean, wherever you go. I mean, that's what it's about. How do you, so we have to, second thing is we have to do something about our thinking. And the only way you can do something about your thinking is take the Word of God and meditate on it. Now, the next question is, how do we do that? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show you. You know, when we first got out to California, I was at a sales meeting, and then Judith flew out on Thursday, and we went to the pastor's house on a Saturday night. Or maybe it was Sunday, too. Saturday afternoon and Sunday night. But they had their prayer meeting on a Sunday night, and they said, would you like the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I says, I have no idea what you're talking about. But if it's going to help me, I want it. And if there's anything else you got, I want that too. You know, because I knew where I was coming from. I knew I needed help. And so I just was open. So we did. So we got Spirit-filled. And so the job of renewing your mind, according to Joshua 1:8 and Romans 12, is let the Holy Spirit guide you and show you things. He'll bring the scriptures that you need. You know, and what are you going to do? You're going to be sitting here on a Sunday. Pastor Mike's talking about this, but you hear that. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing that needs you to move to that next step to do this. Okay? So it's getting out of the thinking of your mind. It's getting into the thinking of what the Spirit of God has for you. So going back to my hockey story with those guys, I grew up playing hockey. I played hockey till I was pretty old. Okay? I played hockey for... Since I was five, I probably played it for over 50-some years. And I was trying to figure out how many games I played last night. And I felt the only thing I can tell you, it's a lot.
You still have your teeth.
I still, oh, I, you know what I did? I started wearing a mouthpiece. And then when I came out to California, I put a head thing. I had a head. We didn't have them in college when I played college hockey. But I put a head on, but I did a screen. Wow. You know, like a catcher's mask. Three times in games, that puck hit me right there. Right there. Yeah. Thank God I was listening to the Spirit of God when I was out here, because back there I was just, it's like the skiers you see with a crew cut or a haircut, sunglasses, and they're out there.
No helmet.
No helmet. No. What are you thinking? Oh, they're not. Going before it got there, okay? And I can watch a game. How do you enjoy this guy? I can watch a game because I know where it's going. I know what's going to happen. I can see it coming before it gets there because I studied it. And the same thing with it says in Joshua. You study the word and it becomes second nature to you, you know? And so Second Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world blinds the minds of those. And he does it through all kinds of philosophy, vain deceit, and all that stuff to keep you from thinking. So we know we have an enemy. We have to defeat that enemy, right? Yeah. And that's our decision to do that also. So for me, playing hockey and studying hockey, and the other thing I did when I was, this will give you exactly my age, but when I got out of college, I started, you know, I wanted to become a pilot. I wanted to be an airline pilot. That was one of the things I thought. I wasn't renewed yet, so I was not quite in my right mind. Okay, but I did get my commercial license, my instrument license, so I was ready. But by the time I was ready, there were so many pilots coming back from Vietnam that I said, I'm going to be a salesman like I'm called to do. You know, and I just moved over and went that way. But the reason why I talk about commercial instrument, if you've never done it, when you're flying instrument, faith in the word, faith in the instrument. They go hand in hand. And so when you're flying in an instrument such situation, you can't see. You can only see, and you have to trust the gauges that are in front of you. And because the plane can be going like this and you don't know it, but if you get that gauge, you can see it and you can keep it level. We were flying one time to New Orleans, three of us on the hockey team, or one guy was and one guy wasn't. And we got to Jackson, Mississippi. The further we flew, the lower the clouds got. Now I'm flying in a instrument rated airplane. I have my written test passed, but I haven't taken the physical. And so the visible, here's one thing. Guys, I can see that antenna. It's 3,500 feet high, and we're at 15. And it's just getting soupier and soupier. And so what do I do? So there was a military base, and I saw that it was open. And so I called them. I told them, I'm IFR trained but not licensed, so I want a special VFR in. And so what they did, turn right, turn left, turn right, gotcha, now follow this vector, and they landed me perfectly, and never did get to New Orleans because the weather just kept worse, so we just turned around the next day and went back. But I had to trust my instinct, but I also had to trust those gauges then and there because I couldn't see much.
Yeah.
But something inside me said, do this. And I wasn't born again. Well, I was probably born again as a Catholic as a kid, but I had no teachings. But I had something inside me, call, do this, get out of this air, get out of this thing. You know, and it's probably just sensible things, too. It was the wisdom of God. So one of the questions, let me see where we're at. How many more scriptures you got back there? About 20, 25? We got time. See, you know the difference between a preacher and a teacher. I asked you this question before and you didn't know the answer. It's about an hour. Now you got to know, does the preacher preach longer or does the teacher teach longer? I'm going to tell you, the teacher just unhooks.
Yes.
I can just go on and on. And so I'm going to be faithful to the Super Bowl. So we'll be done by about 2:50 now. Faithful to the word, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So let me write, speak a couple things. This is really, really going to be a rhema to you. Everyone in here is always thinking. Did you ever think about that? Well, the time you get up to the time you go to bed, you're always thinking. The rhema part was a joke, and you didn't laugh, so you'd... I tell you a joke about a roof, but it'd be over your head. I had an English teacher at Lane Tech. His name was Herman H. Herman, and the H stood for Herman. And about every 3 weeks, we'd hear that joke. Tell you a joke about our roof. Anyway, the question I have is, ask yourself, what am I thinking when I'm always thinking? That's the rhema part. Because if you ask yourself what you're thinking when you're always thinking, you're going to be able to think about what you're thinking and find out if it's lined up with the good thoughts or the bad thoughts. And that's renewing your mind, because if you can think about what you're thinking and get it changed to what God says, sometimes I stick my neck out, so I'm going to right now. 1 Corinthians 14. This ain't sticking your neck out. It just fits with what I was saying. 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, "For anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also." Oops, I want to go to King James. Well, no, let's do this. No, let's go to King James. Because it's clearer. Sorry. Anybody want to go home? Okay. "Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." Now, that's an individual thing. What you saw up here was a prophetic tongue with an interpretation. But this is for everyone. "Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue speak, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, in the New Living says, I'll go to it because it makes my point. I just lost it. Okay. Hold on. Where's the dates when you need it? Okay. The New Living says, now watch how this is, how some Bible, I'd like the New Living, but sometimes it'll, okay. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what he has said or she said. And that's okay. For I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, that's not very clear. It says your understanding is unfruitful. Your mind is unfruitful. Here's what that looks like. If your mind's unfruitful, that doesn't mean it's gone. It means it's not doing the praying. Your spirit is doing the praying. Okay? And what's happened is when you're praying in the spirit, your mind becomes fruitful because it's being entertained or brought information from your spirit. Now watch this. I'm just thinking. Okay? This is my mind thinking. Now I'm going to start praying in the spirit. Oops, now my mind isn't creating it. My spirit's bringing the information. And it's another way for people to help them to renew their mind, because that's one of the things. We didn't know what baptism of the Holy Spirit was, like I said before, but we said, give me whatever helped me. That's I knew what I needed, and that was help. And so anyway, so we have to do something. Give me James 1:21. We'll close with almost this. So we have to do something about our souls. God did something about our spirit. We had to make the decision, but the Spirit of God brought new life to us. But with our soul, I got to do it my way. Okay. With our soul, we have to do so. We have to save our own souls, okay? Now, there are certain scriptures that are my favorites. James 1:21 in the King James, it's got to be right up there. Listen to this. King James. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You got it? Is that clear or what? Superfluity of naughtiness. I love it. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. That's superfluity of naughtiness. Okay? And what do you say it is? What's your word? Abundance of badness. Okay. Before, after. Abundance of badness before, superfluity of naughtiness, but the word implanted in my heart changed me.
Amen.
Okay? And that's the whole thing. Now, there's, you could go to, I'm not going to do these, but also, because I like to have three witnesses, 1 Peter 1:9, Hebrews 10:39, say the same thing. You got to save your soul. And how do you save your soul? By submitting to God again. You submit to God and He will bring you into a position that your soul will be saved. Now, do you have to have your soul saved to get to heaven? No, but it's going to be a lot smoother ride if it is.
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to be, and you're going to be more valuable to the people around you by having your soul saved. And all that means is your soul's renewed to the Word of God. Your soul, again, is your mind, will, emotion. Okay. I'm going to finish it with this. To be spiritually minded, or spiritually minded, this is what a spiritually minded soul looks like. Your mind is renewed to the Word of God. That's Romans 12:1. That's the first thing. So that's your mind. Now your emotions. How many? Anybody have trouble with their emotions? Okay. Okay, I'm going to go back to ice hockey. Okay. When I used to play ice hockey, now we didn't, not every game had a national anthem because we were amateur. But whenever I got into a hockey game, especially when there was a national anthem, and I'm on the ice, I'm just waiting. I can't wait for this to be over. My emotions are starting to bubble. And then the game, the drop the puck, the game starts. Doesn't never started for me until I hit somebody. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. So I was the defenseman. I was the biggest guy in the ice normally. And I didn't hit him to hurt him. I hit him to get into the game. Well, in order for you to get into the game, you got to have your emotions controlled by God's word. Okay? And that's Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your emotions be, think on those things that are good and pure. Okay? And the next one is your will. Mind, emotion, will. That's your soul. Your will needs to be conformed to God's word. So you have to be, as an act of your will, I'm going to see what the word of God says before I'm going to go with what I'm thinking here. Especially when you're driving a car and somebody, no. Okay, the fourth thing is your thought process. It's a pattern of thinking. Your pattern of thinking has to be selective to the word of God. If you have thoughts and you go right to what the word of God says, that's okay. That's renewing your mind. Your mind now, you know what it says, James, where a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? Double-minded man is heart saying one thing, his head saying something else. And so you got to get your mind so renewed so that the heart and the mind are working together, single-minded. Okay? So I purposely throw humor in, I think, because when you're doing this, it makes you hear things better. You know, for you guys, it makes you hear, because I don't like to be rote. I like to just, you know, I want to follow a script, but that script was outlined by the Holy Spirit. But I changed it around a lot today because of what you're hearing and what you need to hear, or what the Spirit of God wants to say. Yeah. Okay, so just go with it. So I do want to say thank you for hearing. Remember this. Every word that was spoken today went into your heart. And as you go along, you're going to hear it. I went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's, they called it Advances, with Jerry Swell and Charles Capps, my second year in California. And I just got overdosed with the Word of God. And so I didn't even pray for this meeting. I mean, we all prayed for it before, but they prayed that you would have supernatural recall and supernatural understanding of all things said at this thing. And I agreed with that. And so whenever I hear whoever's teaching, I pray that same thing, that I have supernatural recall. And then and you know what you do then? You're giving it to the Holy Spirit to bring that to life in you for your work, for your service. Okay? So, Dawn, where's Dawn? Okay. We'll let her know. Noah's going out of town this week on a big competition. So, Father, we just call the ministry of Noah into his ministry of skiing, Father. And we declare a spirit of safety for him as he drives there and as he does his competitive skiing, that it'll be flawless. It'll be led by the Spirit and protected by the Spirit and his angels so that he'll do a great job and come home safe in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Father, for Ellen's family and Tom's, we thank you, Father, for the memorial service yesterday. We thank you, Father, that the Spirit of God was moving in that place. Amen. And Father, we thank you, and we just, Holy Spirit, you continue to move in those people, Father, so that there is no ungodly grief, but there's a normal grieving process, and that the way is prepared for them to turn what the devil meant for bad in this situation, God will turn for good, and it'll bring that family and those people closer and closer together in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen? Okay. Okay, since I said something about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're done. We just thank you for it. But if anybody needs some prayer, we're available. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.